Yes, welcome back to the Friday show here on World Football Daily, and we're finishing the week with a bang. Delighted to say that we're being joined by German football expert Mr. Christian Nayari joining us on the show. Christian, how are you, mate?
Absolutely excellent, man, especially after looking at those buses in the morning.
it's been a very nice draw today in the Champions League for, well, especially for Borussia Dortmund. You'd think, what's the reaction from a German football expert like yourself to the draws for Munich and for Dortmund?
Personally, I'm happy. I think I wanted to see Bayern, Dortmund, or Madrid, Barca later, and this sets it up perfectly, especially with the semifinals not being drawn until after all these games are done. So it worked out well. From Dortmund's perspective, I think this is an ideal draw. Maybe Galatasaray would have been a little easy, but like Jurgen Klopp said after the game, I mean, his answer was very short. He said, at least it's not Barcelona. And, you know, I think that says it all. I mean, at this stage, there really are no easy games, but Malaga haven't played in the Champions League before. This is their first season, and both of them are kind of new entities and two of the dark horses, I think, to go very far. I think they match up pretty evenly, but I think Dortmund have a pretty decent record against Spanish teams in the past. They've won 5 games against them when they've played. And I think quality-wise, they certainly have what it takes to get past them.
When you look at this Dortmund side, who have been so impressive in the Champions League, is your initial reaction kind of the giant powerhouse of Germany against mini Malaga with the inexperience? And is that something that might confuse people in terms of looking and approaching this tie?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's you know, a small team against a big team. I think both these teams match up fairly evenly. Like I said, I mean, we have to keep in mind that Dortmund's performances in Europe in the last 2 seasons were nothing like they are this year. This is the first year in well over a decade since Dortmund have really performed well in Europe, which has been very, very surprising even to me and to many in Germany. Nobody really expected Dortmund to play like they have so far. I mean, I think statistically, considering losses and goals scored and goals conceded, they've been the best team in the Champions League, and I don't think anyone expected that. But that's not to say that they're in any ways favourites in this game for me.
Does it aid Dortmund at all being away from home first or second, or were they rather started off against Malaga at home, or does it not matter?
I really don't think the officials care much in the reactions to the draw. One of the Dortmund officials said they're just happy to travel to Costa del Sol because it's such a beautiful and scenic place. I mean, I think they're just happy to be there, and you know, that pretty much sums up their attitude to the Champions League and their entire experience so far. It's just we'll take things as they come, and we'll just continue to work hard and see where it gets us.
Is there worry at all about this Dortmund back four at the moment? Anyway, has looked in the last month or so reasonably shaky. Lost to Schalke, of course, on last weekend, and convincing against Shakhtar at least in the Champions League. But the back four seems to be struggling at the moment, Christian.
Yeah, and that's really my big concern as well. I was looking at an interesting statistic last week actually, and it said that they've already conceded 12 goals from headers this season, and last year was only 3. So it's already over 3 times as many this year, and this is with 2 center backs that, in my opinion, are supposed to be 2 of the best in the air in Europe. So I think there's definitely been a little bit of a disconnect there. I don't know whether it's complacency or, you know, some of the injuries, because Hummels and Subotic haven't always been fit to start together. But I think overall there's just been a little bit of a drop off in performance in defense. And I think if anything will cost them in Europe, it's going to be that, because, I mean, we all know how well they attack and what they're capable of are there.
In that front line, though, I mean, we've got a number of players whose names keep on flying around the transfer talk at the moment. Lewandowski and Götze both having their names fluttered around, linked with other European sides. As you get closer towards the end of the season, does that become, do you think, more of a distraction for Dortmund?
I don't think so. I think with a team like Dortmund, you'd expect them to be linked to a new team almost every day. I saw Marco Reus being linked to Chelsea the other week, which I found completely ridiculous, but it's kind of the norm with them. I mean, the only valid name linked away, in my opinion, is Lewandowski anyways. And I think that Klopp and everyone else at Dortmund have been preparing for his, you know, the potential departure for many, many months now. And he was asked about it a couple of weeks ago, and he said, you know, we don't worry about Lewandowski leaving. If he does, we're well prepared, well ahead of time, and we'll just keep going. And I think that's what will happen.
The other team, obviously, Bayern Munich, losing on Wednesday night to Arsenal in the Champions League. Again, they were pushed close against Fortuna Düsseldorf last weekend, and the loss to Arsenal. Is there a worry that Bayern are taking their foot off the gas too much at the moment?
Yeah, you can say that. I was thinking about possible reasons for them underperforming this week. It wasn't completely surprising to me because they did kind of struggle in their last two Bundesliga games before that against Düsseldorf, like you said, and Hoffenheim the week before. So it might be just a culmination of a very, very intense schedule and performances where, you know, fatigue kind of creeps in and these kind of performances are inevitable. Or it might just be a bit of complacency that Bayern have kind of made a habit of in Europe, where they maybe don't perform at their best when it matters most. And that's been a bit of a worry with them in Europe over the last couple of seasons.
Would this be then something that's almost been preempted, expected? Do you think this Bayern side has the kind of headstrong about itself to be able to get over that potential complacency going up against a side like Juventus?
I think so. I do. I still think that this Bayern team is different from those in the past. They seem more motivated, more focused. And, you know, I mean, their record and performances in the league certainly speak for that. I'd like to think that this was just a blip. But, I mean, as far as the Juventus game is concerned, I don't know what will happen because, as many people know, the Bayern just don't do too well against German teams in Europe. I was looking at the statistics, actually, before I came on, their performances and records against the Italian teams in Europe. And I was looking at 23 games they've played against either Inter, Juventus and Milan in Europe, and they've only won 6 of those 23 games. So, I mean, history is definitely not in their favor, and it's all about the mentality and how they approach those games.
There's another one for you, Christian. That Andrea Pirlo has never lost to Bayern Munich in the Champions League either. Just another little one for you there, which won't please Munich fans. On Wednesday night, it was sluggish, it was slow. Do you think that maybe without Ribery, this side lacks a real spark to it? Because Ribery has been phenomenal this season for Bayern.
Yeah, he's been their standout player. And you're right, there's definitely something to that. Bayern do lack a little bit of creativity. For me, Ribery to them is not just a winger and goal scorer. He's really their primary creative outlet, even though he plays out wide. He cuts into the middle, he sets up everyone else, he's always involved in the goals. If it's not the final pass leading to the goal, it's the pass before the pass. So he's always involved, he's always got his hand in there, and without him they do look a little bit out of it. But I really do think that when there was the culmination of maybe a fatiguing run of players, and the Heinkes will rest a lot of their starters at the weekend. Philipp Lahm, Müller, Ribery, all of them aren't going to be playing at the weekend against Leverkusen, and so I really think that he sees that, you know, it's time that these guys get a rest and recuperate so they can be at their best when they come up against Juventus.
Is this important as well, that maybe Barca have kicked back into life with that fantastic win against AC Milan, and everybody is focusing attention on them as the favourites once again, whereas Bayern were, when it looked like Barca were going out, were considered the top side left in this Champions League tournament? Does that help them readdress their focus slightly and get some of the media attention away from them?
Yeah, it could. It could. I don't think Bayern were ever comfortable with the favourites tag, though, to be honest. Heinkes, before the Arsenal game, specifically warned people not to buy into the hype machine, and he said he personally warned his players as well that our run, even though it's a historic run and 20-point lead in the league, cruising in Europe, it means nothing. And he's absolutely right. And I mean, he's been in the game for so long. He took part in his 1,000th game a couple of weeks ago. So I mean, no few coaches have more experience than him, and he knows what it takes. You really can't be complacent. You have to take every game as it comes, and maybe that's what also happened against Arsenal. The players maybe believed the result was in the bag before the whistle was even kicked.
is this Juventus side maybe the worst side for Bayern to come up against in terms of a defence that could soak up Bayern's seemingly relentless pressure at times? Because we know how good the Italians are at defending, as opposed to maybe other sides like Madrid, who have struggled with their back fours this season.
Yeah, and what stands out to me about this game is that we're going to see a game that's going to look very much like the Euro semifinal between Germany and Italy. I mean, both team cores pretty much make up the national team, Germany and Italy, and a lot of those players are going to be playing each other again, and it's going to be the same systems of play, basically, as well. The 4-2-3-1 against the 3-5-2 of Juventus in Italy. It's going to be Pirlo, Marchisio, Bonucci, Bazzagli, Buffon, against Lahm, Neuer, Schweinsteiger, and all those players. And, you know, Germany really, really messed up in that game. And I think that's what Heinke is going to have to look at and see. Where did Germany go wrong? What did Yogi Löw do wrong? How can I avoid that? Where are the areas that I can exploit Juventus? And I think there are some areas as well that, although Juventus are very, very good, I think there are some areas that they do struggle in. And I think Bayern can take advantage of it. I'd say this game is a 50-50 right now.
It is very close to call in the Champions League. It could be close to call this weekend for Bayern as well, against Bayer Leverkusen, the only side that have beaten them in the Bundesliga this year. What's the mentality and the mindset of this Munich side going on to take Leverkusen? You mentioned there's going to be a number of players rested this weekend, Christian.
Yeah, Heinkens is going to rest about 4 or 5 starters, so we're going to see pretty much a different Bayern team lineup against Leverkusen. But I mean, at this point, I think they can afford to do that. They have a 20-point lead, which is it's unprecedented in history. Everyone expects them to wrap up the league in 2 or 3 weeks, even. And mathematically, they can, believe it or not, which would be the earliest any team has ever won the Bundesliga. So, I mean, I don't think that the focus will be too much on the Leverkusen game. I think they'll expect them to perform well, and I think they will, but all eyes are on the Juventus fixture right now. Even the cup, the German cup in which Bayern are in the semifinals, is becoming a formality, basically.
But Leverkusen, on the other hand, are going to be taking this extremely seriously this weekend. Not only a chance to get one over the league, well, with the expected league winners this season, but also in that fight for second and third place in the Bundesliga with Borussia Dortmund.
No, Leverkusen definitely want to keep up there. They're still sitting pretty comfortably. They're 6 points ahead of Schalke in fourth, but Schalke have been pretty resurgent over the last couple of weeks, and I think they're going to win again this weekend. So, and if Leverkusen aren't careful, they'll only be a game behind Schalke. And I don't think they don't want to drop into that fourth spot, because I mean, it's going into Champions League qualifying, and who knows what will happen there. So it's a big game for Leverkusen. I think all the games for Leverkusen are going to be pretty big going into the end of the season. They're out of the cup. They're out of Europe now, so it's going to be focused strictly on the league. And I wouldn't be surprised if Leverkusen beat Bayern again this season, which would be pretty amazing, considering considering this is probably going to be the greatest ever season played by a single team in the league.
You mentioned there the resurgence of Schalke and 3 wins on the trot, of course, dropping out of the Champions League this week, but as you said, it's starting to all click back into place together with this side. What's been the reason over the last maybe 4 weeks or so that we've seen them go undefeated and really start getting that motor running again?
A couple of things, actually. I think that Holti's departure would be led in the middle, but I think playing Julian Draxler there has been a big revelation for them. Ever since he's played in the middle, the team has looked much, much better. They're unbeaten in the last 4 in the league now, 6 overall in all competitions. And I think he's just really, really coming into his own as a player. And it's amazing considering he's just 19. The other thing I think is that the coach, Jens Keller, has moved Benedikt Höwedes, the captain of the team, back into as a center back. He played him out wide for a lot of the games this season, and it's not his natural position. But I think he's a player who strives in the center. And he's finally back there. The defense looks solid again. And I think that was really the biggest problem. And now they're cruising again. It's a little ridiculous to see this with Bundesliga teams, though, that where they consistently go from just being either very good or just very bad.
You can't. You can never have that nice middle ground, can you? With Julian Draxler, it was somebody, a name that was picking up a lot of momentum going into the season, and people were maybe saying this a chance for a kind of a breakout season from even a 19-year-old. But are people surprised just how well he has played in this Schalke side?
Yeah, I think so. Usually, players his age, they start really well, or they have a couple of weeks or months worth of good performances, and then they just kind of drop off. But ever since Axel made his debut 2 years ago, he's just stayed in the team and never been dropped. And it's amazing because last weekend he made his 100th competitive appearance for the club, and he's just 19 years old. And I mean, to me, that says everything. And even Jürgen Löw, Germany's coach, said that this is a very, very special player. He's mature beyond his years, and we have to be really careful how we treat him. And, you know, how we have to protect him and so on and make sure he develops right. But it looks like he's doing everything right, and he's only getting better and better. And I don't think it'll be long before he's linked to Chelsea as well.
As they all seem to be in the Bundesliga. A scary thought for any international side as well, thinking about Marco Reus and Julian Draxler coming at you as from the attacking midfield positions behind the centre forward. I mean, I don't think there are many defences that would enjoy that one at all, Christian.
No, and I'm curious to see how Löw is going to fit all these guys into the team. I mean, Draxler, he was excellent out wide. And, you know, this year he's playing in the middle and he's even better. And like we said, he's just 19. And you already have Özil, Götze there, Toni Kroos. So, I mean, how you fit all those players into one is going to be very interesting. And Löw actually said when he picked the team for the World Cup qualifiers next week that he's finally starting to consider that using a center forward might not be ideal for Germany going forward, and because he has all these attacking midfielders at his disposal and just might make the team better. And it's good to see that he's finally realizing that.
The false number 10, like Spain, if you will. They're very surprising indeed.
Yeah, right.
Christian, we've got a competition running here on World Football Daily about how many goals Borussia Dortmund are going to score in their next 5 games, including the 2 Champions League quarterfinals. You're a Bundesliga expert. How many goals do you think in the next 5 games Borussia Dortmund are going to get up until April 10th, of course, in the final whistle of their Champions League quarterfinal?
I'd say they will score 10 and concede 12.
Wow. Is this some sort of anti-Dortmund that we've got going on here on your part, Christian?
I'm being a little optimistic.
Well, I don't know if
I'm curious about your take on it.
I can see, to be honest, them, especially now with the draw being made and them getting Malaga, I could see them getting at least 5 past them over 2 games. So I can see
5 goals. Wow.
I can see a 3-2 and a 2-0 or something like that for Dortmund in the Champions League. I think they can put 5 comfortably past this Malaga side. Malaga are just dangerous coming forward. I think they can concede with this back four of Dortmund's at the moment, the way it is, even with Subotic and Hummels back there. They haven't clicked yet. But that's just, I'm not an expert like you, Christian. I will bow to your knowledge today, I have to say.
But do you think they'll go through?
Yeah, I think they will. I think they will. I think the magic runs out for Malaga now.
All right. That's good.
We shall see. We shall see, Christian, and we will have to discuss this more as we approach the quarterfinals. But for now, it's a pleasure to have had you on the show, mate, and we look forward to catching up with you again very soon.
Definitely. Anytime, guys.
Thanks so much. Christian Nyari joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things German football. Absolute legend in terms of not only World Football Daily appearances, but also in terms of just earning an outright top German football journalist. We're going to take a very quick break here on World Football Daily. When we come back, we'll be probably talking about the quarterfinal draw once again for the Champions League. Of course, we'll be looking ahead to the weekend's games as well. Bayern Munich taking on Leverkusen. That's surely the biggest game of the weekend. We'll confirm that with you when we get back after this quick break.